We continue our Hebrews series this morning, and we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 4, and you can turn there with me, from verses 14 to 16, and the title of my message this morning is Knock Knock, Who's There? And it'll make sense as we unpack it a little bit this morning. And this is what the writer of Hebrews says, reading verses 14 and 16 of chapter 4. Therefore, speaking about Jesus, the very one that we have been singing these sweet, sweet words of gratitude and love and acceptance to. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven. So remember last week, we landed with this where Jesus is seated, at the right hand of the Father. Again, the writer shows us where Jesus is seated, victoriously seated, above all things, all powers and principalities, who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. It says, because of him, for him, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Not just as we have, but just as we are. So the writer is assuming that every day, which is true, we face temptations of many kinds. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So we're going to be looking at this topic of temptation this morning. Last Sunday, we looked at Hebrews chapter 3, encouraged to look up to Jesus Christ, to put our faith in the finished work of the cross, faith in the work of the cross that is complete, it is finished. And today we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 4, where the writer begins with entering the Sabbath rest. Friends, the Sabbath rest, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1, this is the promise. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you found to have fallen short of it. This rest that the Hebrews writer is talking about is a rest of grace. It's a rest of comfort. It's a rest of holiness. It's a rest in the power of the gospel. It goes beyond a moment, a Sunday. This is a rest, a state of being that the believer would find himself or herself in Jesus. It says, let us enter this rest. Let us enter this place of peace. Let us enter into this place of wholeness and completeness in God through the work of Jesus Christ. We're looking at temptation, as I've said. And to be biblically clear about the topic, that temptation itself is not sin, but it's a seed of sin. We're going to be looking at it from that perspective this morning. So in other words, where there is temptation and opportunity, and we use that opportunity, there's trouble. That is sin. The Bible is very clear about that. And so the Bible speaks about, and the writer of Hebrews states that Jesus is able to empathize with our sin because he himself was tempted. He himself went through some trials in the wilderness, in the desert. He's able to empathize with our weakness in this regard. The meaning of empathy means the ability to identify and to be aware of. And so Jesus knows exactly what we go through when the enemy, when the devil, Satan tempts us. And he doesn't just leave us and say, well, get on with it and try to fight that battle on your own. He gives us the way out. And he shows us the way out. Not only does he empathize, but he's able to exert authority, if we will allow him, in that moment. That helps us stand firm in that moment of weakness. When it comes to temptation, as I've already stated, that Jesus knows exactly the challenge of temptation that every human being faces. And can I say that temptation does not discriminate? Young, old, rich, poor, it doesn't matter who you are. We all face temptation. We might look at somebody who's way older in years than us and more mature in their faith and say, well, they've got it all together. They're not tempted. Can I say everyone is tempted? All the time. We all are. Rich, poor, young, old. We all face the same enemy. Satan, who is known as the deceiver and the tempter. Who remembers the VeggieTales videos? Raise your hands. I'm very interested. Not many of us. Today we raise our kids on a diet of other superheroes. But when our kids were small, we raised them on the diet of the Veggie Tales. So the cartoons, the vegetables all act out these moments. And so I looked at a clip this week of the bad apple in the Veggie Tales. And he walks around, this bad apple, and he tries to tempt people, tries to get them to compromise their faith, these vegetables. So the bad apple, you can recognize him. He's got a wink and a smile, and he's got like this crooked look. And he walks around, knock, knock. And he walks around, say, knock, knock. And all the vegetables say, who's there? And he says, temptation. So that's the title of my message. I borrowed it from the Veggie Tales. Knock, knock. Who's there? Temptation. And so the writer of Hebrews says that we face temptation all the time. We need to know how to deal with it. Jesus himself was tempted. The writer of Hebrews points to this fact that we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are. Probably referencing Jesus in the wilderness. Remember Luke chapter 3 when he is baptized by John the Baptizer, Jesus, he comes out of the water. After that moment, he is led into the wilderness. That's where chapter 4 picks up. After that moment, he is led into the wilderness. And this is what the Bible records, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Interesting. He went into the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit. Remember, this is my son. With him, I'm well pleased. And the Holy Spirit came to rest upon him. Came to rest upon him, to anoint him for his ministry, but also came to rest upon him, to protect him, to provide for him in his times of need. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit, capital S, into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. We all think he only started to get tempted when he came out of the desert. He was tempted fully for 40 days whilst in the desert. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Notice that Jesus has been tempted already for 40 days, faces this constant barrage of temptation, of temptation, of temptation, of temptation, a constant onslaught. It shows us, friends, as we read this text this morning, that the enemy will not let us go. He's always chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. Open the door, let me in. Open the door, let me in. It's a voice that is just unceasing in its onslaught. He won't go away. He's continually chipping away at our resolve to stand firm. And because Satan is so unrelenting in his attacks, the writer of Hebrews encourages us, says, because he is so unrelenting, hold firm. Hold firm. Hold firm to this faith that you profess. This faith is faith in Jesus, in the finished work of the cross. This faith that the writer of Hebrews is referencing is faith in the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. Jesus could withstand for a couple of reasons, which we'll look at. Full of the Spirit, he was able to withstand the onslaught of the enemy. You know that Satan's goal, if you don't know it, I'm reminding us, and maybe you're hearing it for the first time, is the total destruction of a life. That's his goal. That's his aim in life, is to destroy. And so if that's his aim and that's his goal, surely as believers, we need to learn how to resist him, how to shut the door on the moment that he knocks and says, let me in, let me in. The first temptation that we're going to look at this morning, and so Jesus is led into the wilderness. Luke chapter 4, verse 3. He's withstood 40 days, time of temptation. The devil comes to him, Satan comes to him, says to him, Luke chapter 4, verse 3, you can read with me. If you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread. What he's doing is he's setting before him a test, he's setting before him a temptation. Satisfy your physical desire. The very first thing interesting that Satan challenges Jesus on is his identity. If you are the Son of God, if you say who you are, then do this, do that. And I think most of our issues of temptation come because we don't have a settled identity of who we are in Christ. Helps us stand firm, helps us resist. When we can stand firm as sons and daughters, we carry the very lifeblood of Jesus through his salvation. And we can stand firm against the enemy and say, away with you. I'm a son, I'm a daughter of the King. No accusation you can bring against me has any hold on me because he has set me free by his blood. The chains are broken. But if we wrestle with this thing of identity in Jesus Christ, then we can begin to listen to his voice. Oh, well, maybe not worth it. But you're not worth his grace. Maybe his power isn't sufficient to deliver you from that addiction. Insecure identity results us in looking for affirmation in all the wrong places with all the wrong things. So we begin to open doors to try to find some satisfaction because Jesus is not enough for us. Open doors. You know that lingering look when that pop-up happens on the computer screen when you're surfing a site looking for something and that innocuous pop-up happens. You just click on it. Suddenly it opens up a whole world of degradation which leads to destruction. I'm talking about pornography. If you've got identity issues, that stuff you're going to find appealing. If you've got affirmation issues, that stuff you're going to find appealing. That open, lean on my shoulder kind of friendship that you can access with a work colleague of the opposite sex. The glad eye that you get when you walk into the room. If you open the door to that friends, it can lead to destruction and trouble. That emptiness at the core of our soul that we try to fill with drugs and alcohol, wild living, on the edge activities, never satisfied. The devil, friends, uses these opportunities to bring destruction and to destroy a life. And here's the reality. It does not only destroy your life, it destroys the lives of others. Woke up this morning with a picture, and I don't often wake up with pictures. I woke up at 2:30 this morning. It was crazy. I couldn't sleep. Prayed, wrestled, tried to get back to sleep. I got up and I had my moment, my quiet time, 5:00 this morning. And the Lord dropped this picture in my heart of a person throwing a pebble. You know, as guys do, I don't think girls do it. Do they? Some do. Yeah, okay, sorry, I don't want to discriminate you. But when you're standing at the edge of a lake and the water's flat and you throw a stone onto that calm water and it causes us and it skips and this ripple happens, some disturbance happens there. But that disturbance happens way beyond you. That ripple goes out further and further and further across the lake. And when we start to dabble in stuff, when we start to get involved in things where the devil opens the door, we need to understand that it has an effect, an influence way beyond us. And the destruction does not just happen here if I open the door. It's wider. It's true. And so the devil provides opportunities to destroy us, to destroy the lives of others. Knock, knock, open the door, let me in. It's very interesting when this temptation comes, how Jesus responds. He doesn't argue with them, doesn't get into a debate or the realities of the gospel or the power of God. He just says, it is written, enough. It is written. What he's actually doing is he's referencing Deuteronomy chapter 8 in his interaction with the devil here. He says, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. For us, friends, when the temptations come, the word of God is the thing that we need to hold fast to. It's our anchor for our soul. The writer of Hebrews talks about the word of God being an anchor for our soul. We need to hold fast to it. When he comes, it is written. That's what's helpful, to be immersed in truth, to read the Bible. Not just to read it, but to apply it. Because within the Bible are God's wisdom and his promises that enable us to stand firm in times of temptation. I don't know how we can walk this life without having His Word. Relying on the Spirit, can I say, is not enough. He is enough. But they work together in harmony, the Spirit and the Word. Jesus, friends, this morning, to be reminded, is the only one who can satisfy a hungry and a thirsty soul. Jesus is hungry. Devil knows it. Says, well, listen, why don't you just, if you are the Son of God, if you have the power that you say, you have just turn the stones into bread, eat, and satisfy yourself. I think we satisfy ourselves in so many different ways, in ungodly, unholy ways. And Jesus is saying, I'm the only one who can bring true satisfaction. We have in this room, people have testimonies. John has shared this publicly, can I? Of just walking a road of trying to satisfy a thirsty and a hungry soul and praying parents, praying for him every day, knowing that the only solution to what he is seeking for, his hunger and his thirst, is Jesus. I identify with Jonah because I walked a very similar road. But Jesus is the only one that can fill that emptiness. And this is what is written. John 6, verse 35. Very interesting that Jesus reconciles identity and provision. In one sentence, he reconciles both. He speaks about identity and he speaks about provision. Beautiful. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So, ma'am, if you have opened the door when the knocking has happened, this morning, please hear his voice. And in your own heart, in your own life, acknowledge and hold fast to the truth that he is the bread of life. He is the only one who can satisfy. We can only find true satisfaction in him. Can I say he is all we need? He alone is our sustaining source and provision for every need. So maybe this morning, that stone skipping on the water is for someone here. Listen and hear what the Father is saying. Your life is at stake. I believe it's for all of us, personally. Second temptation Jesus speaks about, Luke chapter 4, verses 5 to 7, is taking the path of least resistance. In other words, easy life, easy living. Luke chapter 4, verses 5 to 7. The devil led him up to a high place, showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. Okay. All the kingdoms of the world. Just keep that thought in tension. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be yours. Knock, knock, this morning, who and what are you worshiping, sir, ma'am? For me, Jesus here is speaking about easy living. Satan's scheme, his whole goal in life, we've heard already, is to destroy us. And often he does it through the easier option. Take the easy road. It will be better for you. Can I say that if you live with an attitude, if you want it, you can have it at any cost. That's untrue. It does come with a cost. Everything comes at a cost. One of the kingdoms of the world that I just want to just double click on for a moment this morning, just want to touch on it quickly, is this thing called debt. Can I say that that is a kingdom of the enemy? It's a kingdom of Satan. Last year, June 2018, 29 billion rands worth of credit card transactions. A year ago, 29 billion rands worth of credit card transactions. 75% of South Africans were spending disposable income on servicing debt levels. What does it do to a family? Destruction. Pain. Heartache. Hardship. places incredible pressure on families. And so it's like easy. Knock, knock. Let me, it's easy. Just go and put it on the credit card. You want it, you can have it. Just go and put it on the credit card. It's an easy option, friends. But the Bible is very clear. The Word of God is very clear. Let's steward what He has given us responsibly. Let's rather save. It's harder to save because we have to wait for that which we want. True? But it'll be better for you and your family. And so again, Jesus, He resists Satan's temptation with this truth. Luke chapter 4, verse 8. Jesus answered, again, it is written. It's like this refrain, like a stuck record, but it's a wonderful stuck record. It is written. It is written. It is written. Doesn't matter what you say, it is written. So, ma'am, it is written. Is that true for you and for me? It is written. Worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. Don't serve His kingdom. Don't serve His plans. Don't serve His purposes. Can I even say don't serve stuff? The Christian walk, we know, is not always easy. If somebody told you that, they are lying to you. It is not easy. It is difficult because we live in a fallen world with all of its pressures and its confusion and its chaos, and we bump shoulders with all of that every day. It is not easy. Read your Bible, you will see that it's not easy to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. The Christian walk is not easy. There are no shortcuts to heaven. Jesus understands this more than most. We see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. He knows what's lying before Him. He knows the cross is coming. He knows the suffering. He knows the pain. He knows the rejection. He knows the pain of sin. Even though He did not sin Himself, He knew He would carry that upon His shoulders, upon the cross. And we see Him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He says, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I, but you will." Again, as I read that, the gospel highlights that without suffering and sacrifice, there can be no salvation. Luke chapter 9, it is written. Let's read this. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Jesus again says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves." You got to say no to some stuff if you want to follow Him. You got to say no to some stuff if you want to walk in the fullness of all that He has for us. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. I'm making it personal, turning it inward. Follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. So we want all the health benefits without exercising. I saw a lady at the gym when I was last there about 2 years ago, hey, love. I have to be honest. My wife knows my comings and my goings. Sitting at the gym on one of those cycles, you know the ones that you stretch your legs out? It's one of those comfort cycles, I think they're called. She's got a book and she's reading. There's no sweat. There's no effort. She wants the health benefits without the hard work. You want health, put in the hard work, exercise. You want blessing without obedience. So I want it. I want it now. I want it easy. You can't have blessing, friends, the blessing of God, the favor of God without obedience. We can unpack that some other time. It takes some work. Listening to the Word of God, saying yes to the Lord, and saying no to other things that will get in the way of His blessing. And again, in the context of marriage, you can't have love without sacrifice. Husbands and wives know that one well. There is a cost to being a disciple of Jesus. It requires sacrifice, requires a denying of self for the sake of following Him and walking in His call. Deny yourself. Close the door when the knocking comes. when it looks like an easy option. Close the door. Say, no, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord and worship Him only. Joshua. Third temptation, the last one, is the temptation of pride. Self-validation. That's what pride is. Self-validation. And I think all of us struggle with this one, if we're honest. Living in the audience of one. Luke chapter 4, verses 9 to 11. The devil led him, that is Jesus, to Jerusalem, had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, again, he challenges his identity. He says, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written. So now he's quoting scripture. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. So what Satan is doing, he's trying to tempt Jesus to prove that he is the Son of God by immediately asking him to test the fulfillment of scripture about him. Is it God's plan to do it right there and then? Don't think so. Jesus has just had his sonship endorsed. So all he's done is he's been obedient, baptized by John the Baptist, filled with the Holy Spirit, led into the desert. No miracles, no ministry. Baptized, tested, and tempted. He has his very identity challenged. He could have in that moment said, yeah, well, I'm Jesus. Let me do that. Let me jump. And then the angels will sweep me down and they'll pick me up and everybody, wow, look at this man. He's amazing. He could have. But he says no. The enemy's strategy for all of us is to play on our sense of self-importance. Makes us impatient, unwilling to let God unfold his plans and his processes in his time. And so knock, knock, pride gets us to think that we can do without Jesus, do our own thing, our own way, in our own time. Friends, when we walk like that, it opens the door to destruction. I have seen many, many an inheritance lost where guys and girls have presumed that I'm in the will of God and they've stepped out of the will of God because I thought I can do this. Today, inheritance gone. And I'm talking about people in ministry. But it could be equally applicable to other areas of life. You know, pride gets us to think we can do without Jesus, do our own thing, our own way. Paul in Galatians chapter 5, verse 20 highlights the attitude of pride. He says, this is the fruit of pride. So if you want to know how do we measure pride, discord, jealousy, selfish ambition, dissension, factions. That's not life-giving. That's destruction. So this is what Jesus says when the test comes. Luke chapter 4, verse 12. He says, he answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. He says, there's no ways I'm going to put God to the test in this thing. I'm going to wait until his due time of his outworking, of his plan and his purpose and his will for my life, and I will hear him on that. And we see that begin to happen after he is tempted. We start to see him walk in ministry where multitudes of miracles happen. Doesn't short circuit a process. Well, I'm going to get out of here because I can do it. When we walk in the will and the ways of God, we can expect his blessing upon our lives. We can expect his provision. We can expect his protection. But friends, do not put the Lord your God to the test. It takes and requires humility. Understanding I am who I am, what I am, what I have because of the working of his grace upon my life. I don't put anything to a test beyond that. I live in that within the boundaries of this is what it is written. Amen? Four keys. And then I'll end with this and hand over to Grant, that help us resist the knock-knock of temptation. The first one is sonship, security, and our identity as sons and daughters of the King, that he has paid the price for our sin, given us salvation by his blood, secured for us an inheritance that cannot spoil or fade. And I rest secure in the knowledge that the work that Jesus has done is complete. I'm obedient to him. I walk in his way. I honor him. I honor his truth. I bring glory to his name. And then I can just live free, that his hand will be upon my life. And when those flaming darts of the enemy comes, they have no effect, because the shield that I wear is I'm a son and I'm a daughter of God Most High. Secondly is the scripture, the word of God. Cannot resist the enemy without the word of God. Got to know the word, got to apply the word, got to listen to the word of God. And then probably this one is very important too, is supplication, it's surrender, humility. I lay my face down before this King of Kings who gave his life for me. But the most important of all, Luke chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. When the devil had finished all this tempting, remember Jesus in the desert, full of the Holy Spirit. Three temptations in the power of the Spirit. When the devil had finished his tempting, Bible says he left him until an opportune time. Again, he's not going to let you go. But the thing that will hold us fast is this. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I ask you to stand with me, please?